Morning, cappers of Craven. I know the gates open tomorrow morning at 9, and some of you may be putting the finishing touches on your capping needs, getting set to fire on out there. It's the summer's biggest party, and boy, oh boy, it is going to be a fun time, and the weather's looking promising, too. I heard it was a blast last night at Moose Jaw for Shania Twain. I've seen several comments. One suggested that they haven't had that much fun at a concert since Carrie Underwood's show a number of years ago at Mosaic, which is now, of course, the Temple Garden Center. But some thought Shania was even better than Carrie. How about you? 1-877-300-7275. Were you there last night? Someone I saw on social media posting a photo of them posing with Saskatchewan Rough Rider AJ Ouellette. He was there at the show, by the looks of it. Some said the energy and the high energy performance and memorable moments included a proposal on stage. Fun time at Shania Twain. Good to hear last night. Of course, we got lots. This is going to be a fun week. We've got now Craven and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, who are on fire, 4-0, could make it 5-0 against the Stamps, who are coming off a big, big victory and of their own. And they know that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are tough, but they're chomping at the bit to take us and move up the ladder a little more. If Calgary wins, they, of course, would be 4-1. Trevor Harris said yesterday at practice he's back, he's ready to play, and he's pretty pumped about it, too.
I was fine. Let's not go down that road. A little bit of a shouting match, but always trust what the doctors are saying, and you know they're looking out for our best interests. You know, and at the end of the day, we've only got one brain, and we're all going to be 55 and 60 someday. And I got four kids, and you know, although I told them I was ready to go and ready to play, they took matters in their own hands just based off of what they thought and what they gathered from, I guess, people or whatever. So, but we're back. We're good.
Yeah, he's back. Trevor Harris wanting to play against BC last game, too. But as you heard there, he said, Doc said, no, hold off. And he is all set to go. And it's, of course, on Friday Night Football, TSN. And Luke Wilson, who is the sideline reporter, has got a lot of people talking about the CFL as of late. And yesterday was no exception. It was a hot topic on the Green Zone. Luke suggested Rider fans are second to the Winnipeg Blue Bomber fans when it comes to best fans in the CFL. Luke said, between the sellouts, a newer stadium, and winning culture, he chose the Bombers. And he said the worst fans in the league are Hamilton, claiming there are a lot of empty seats and a lot of people getting drunk on the concourse, kind of ignoring football, he thought. But what about you? Barry called into the Green Zone. He said, you know what? Age may be the reason Luke feels that Saskatchewan isn't the best fan base.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is that the fan base in Saskatchewan is aging. We do have a strong fan base that watch the games, that maybe attend the games when it's in other cities and so on and so forth. But Winnipeg, by far, and let's face it, they've done a better job over the last 5 years of building their team, promoting their team, than the Riders have. And the Riders' fan base is aging and not getting younger. And I think that's a huge concern.
Don and Lampman text me, 1-877-300-7275. For a number of reasons, he believes Saskatchewan has the best fans. And he said, look, you can't go anywhere. If you're wearing Rider gear, you're likely to get noticed. It's that universal. He said, we're the biggest in merchandise sales. Can't deny that. I got another text here from my buddy Jason, who works over at Dutch Cycle. Hi to everyone at Dutch. They are awesome. Jason said, my boys and I were on a golf trip to Medicine Hat on the weekend. He said, my 12-year-old was rocking his Rider's hat. We got approached by at least a half a dozen people that day, all wanting to stop and talk about the Riders, who are off to a great start of the season. He said they even stopped at a local big box store there, and they had one full rack of Rough Rider gear and a full rack of Stamps gear, no Edmonton gear to be found. That was on his trip to Alberta on the weekend. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate that one. How about you? 1-877-300-7275. Who has the best fan base, the Riders or not? Grant thinks the Riders have the best fans because they're everywhere in the league.
I was many years ago at a Calgary game playing against Edmonton, and I counted way more Saskatchewan fans wearing the jersey in the crowd than there was Edmonton fans at that game. And the only thing really that's been harming us attendance-wise, a lot of times the way the schedule was set up, it was against us in the first place. You got a lot of Thursday games. This year's good, but I'm talking the past.
Highway 11, there will be a few taking a ride to the campgrounds tomorrow. They'll open up at 9 for Country Thunder. And we're kind of in the dog days of summer, right? But that's okay to me when it comes to television. I find there's absolutely, other than maybe the Blue Jays, who everyone is suddenly interested in, not a lot happening on television. And yeah, they call it the dog days of summer for a reason. Until something like maybe Big Brother comes along. Well, to the rescue, the 25th anniversary of Big Brother begins on Thursday night. And then there's Amazing Race Canada. That's going to fill a reality television void, too. That starts tonight. And we got a Saskie to cheer for in the new season as well. Her name is Rebecca Morasty from the Flying Des First Nation near Meadow Lake. Always better to watch those shows when you got a connection to your own province. And I did mention the Blue Jays. They extended their win streak to 9 last night. They beat the White Sox 8-4 in Chicago. Game 2 goes tonight. And here at home, our Regina Red Sox were in Weyburn last night. Beat the Beavers 4-3. They're home at Curry Field. Swift Current is in town tonight. If you are on holidays with the kids and perhaps maybe even you have company visiting from out of town, a night at the ballpark is pretty affordable and it's always fun. 7 o'clock start tonight. RCMP Sunset Ceremonies are back this month of July, too. That is something I haven't done in many, many years. I've done it a few times, though. It's very cool. There's one tonight, a couple more this month, 15th and 22nd. Sunset Ceremonies, they're free. And to get there, you go to Depot, right off Dudney Avenue, enter the same way you would to the Heritage Center there, and they'll guide you. The gates will open at 5:30. The ceremony starts at 6 tonight. They encourage you to take a blanket or lawn chair. And yes, there are some loud bangs, they suggest. So the little ones might be occasionally frightened, but they'll be okay. It's pretty cool. If you've never seen it, it's free to do so, too, at the depot tonight. And one other great summertime filler for kids. I got to remind you, because the Ladybug release is a huge one every summer. That's going to be on Thursday in downtown Regina in Victoria Park. So make a note, this Thursday, 9:30, the Ladybug release. And what else can I remind you? Oh, get a Lotto Max. You saw it, $65 million. So get that if you're going for coffee or filling up with gas later. And if you're not yet on vacation but are having to juggle childcare while working, here's something that I think is of interest and to ensure you don't let happen in your household, especially with little kids who might be playing around with your old cell phone. This is unusual, but interesting, just to be aware of, because in Kenora, RCMP in Kenora used GPS to figure out where 37 calls to 911 were coming in from. 37 calls. They wound up finding this 7-year-old boy who was playing with his mom's old phone. Apparently, even in old phones that are unregistered and without an assigned phone number, they can still call 911. So, yeah, something good to know. Well, it's time to talk a little heart health here for a moment. An incredible milestone recently achieved at the Regina General Hospital that I think you should be aware of. I love sharing this story. It's come to me from my friends over the hospital's Regina Foundation. My buddy Dino Sofoclio said, you've got to talk to my doctor, Jeff Booker, about this. And, well, I'll tell you what. It's the 500th transcatheter aortic valve implementation. It took place a while back, just about a month ago, and they've since done many more. But on the cutting edge, we've got a couple of cardio labs at the Mosaic Heart Center. One is already in the use, is being used now, and another is set to open up here soon. And one of the docs who works at the lab can explain these procedures much easier than I can is Dr. Jeff Booker, who joins me now. Thank you, sir, for being here. You got to be proud of this program.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been wonderful, actually. If we look at how the program has grown over the years from the early days when we started being really restricted to only the highest risk patients and only doing 25 cases a year to be doing over, now we're looking at getting over 100 a year, and hitting that milestone of 500 is a testament to all the people involved in the program and the great team that we have working together. So,
well, just so everyone understands, give us a scenario of who would this help and what's happened to them that they get to this point that they need you.
So the condition that we're actually treating is aortic valve stenosis. So the aortic valve in your heart becomes becomes thickened and calcified and restricted, and so it doesn't open up the way it's supposed to. So it's a simple one-way valve, but when the leaflets get very thick, and it typically happens as people get older, it's making your heart do a lot of extra work to move the blood through. So when it gets to be more severe, the only way that that can be addressed is through a mechanical means. And so historically, the only way to do that was open heart surgery, where people would have, you know, a full open heart, and on the bypass heart lung machine, the surgeons would cut the valve out and sew in a new one, and then they'd wake you up and you'd recover. For some people, a good treatment option if they also have to have bypass or aortic surgery, but they developed a technique where we can take a similar tissue valve, a bioprosthetic valve that a surgeon would put in, but have it mounted inside of a stent onto a balloon, and we can insert that through a catheter that goes in the groin all the way up to the heart without having the person have to have a general anesthetic or have their chest opened or go on bypass. So they just have some sedation, and we can place the valve in. So that you can imagine, with that being a lot less invasive, people recover very well. Typically, this is an older patient population in their 70s or 80s. And so if you can spare the person having to go through all of the stress on the body of open heart, that this is a real tremendous technological advance to get to this point. So,
Dr. Booker, how many can you do in a day then with this technology?
The most we've done is 6 in a day, because we only use the one lab. And so just getting the patients in and prepared, and then when we do the procedure and to clean the room and turn it over and get the next patient ready. Right now, 6 in a day is our max that we've achieved, but that's still quite tremendous. The interesting thing is that we're probably still only capturing maybe half the patients who have this specific valve condition. So if I were to put a plug out, if you look at how can we help patients moving forward with this specific valve condition, it's actually to have a family physician, which is challenging these days for many people, and have someone listen to your heart, right? Because if they hear a heart murmur, then that would lead to some further testing to evaluate to see whether you would have this. And for many people, regular primary care where someone actually listens to their heart with a stethoscope, it doesn't happen as it should, right? If we can get the word out, that's something to look at.
So. That's a good one. And do you feel it yourself too? Are there signs that you feel?
Yeah, many people, as the valve gets more severe, they start to notice. They become short of breath. They can get chest pain. They come physically, you know, their stamina goes down. One of the very difficult things is typically affects people as they get older. And so many people come, they're 80 years old, they've got a valve condition that's severe, and it happens fairly gradually over time. And so frequently they just say, oh, I thought I was just getting older. This is how an 80-year-old feels. And so then when you treat them and fix them, they feel 10 years younger and are just so pleased that, because it has an insidious onset and progression. So it's not always a dramatic symptom. So
we should note the hospitals Regina Foundation has invested over $4.5 million to upgrade both of Regina's cath labs. You mentioned one lab is open now, but a second will be soon again, right?
We've started doing the renovation in the second lab to upgrade both the x-ray and the monitoring equipment, and we're really appreciative of all the support that allows us to do these procedures and many other things, whether it's treating coronary disease, people are having heart attacks. So the support has been very much appreciated. We couldn't do what we do without that support.
As challenging as it is in the medical world, we really still are right here in Saskatchewan, cutting edge in so many ways, aren't we?
When I looked to come back here, there were some challenges getting the program started. And if we look at how we've worked together right from day one and built a really tremendously successful program with a good relationship between the sites, both at Saskatoon and Regina, and really at the forefront with this, we should be very, very pleased. Yeah.
Dr. Jeff Booker, Doc, put me on the list of those who are very, very happy you're in our province and doing this kind of work. And together with the Hospitals Regina Foundation, it just gets better and better. I thank you for everything you're doing and all your team, too.
All right. Well, thanks so much. It was nice to talk to you.
Sounds like Trevor Harris is back where he belongs. We're going to get an update now from CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray as the Riders are all set to host Calgary Friday night. Could they go 5-0? Will the Stampeders come out 4-1? Lots to discuss. Good morning, Britton. Welcome back.
Good morning.
What happens during a bye week? Did you find out? Do players leave town, or do they just kind of hang out?
I think it depends a little bit. Each person's in a different situation. Some do head home. Some stick around. I talked to AJ Ouellette. He actually made out the Calgary Stampede for a little bit to go check it out. So
he's getting around. He's getting around. Last night he was at Shania Twain concert at Moose Jaw, I hear.
Yeah, he's, I don't know about that, but maybe that's the case. But yeah, no, every player's a little bit different. It's about kind of that reset, you know. Some people use it to get their bodies right. Some people just use it as kind of, okay, step away from football kind of mentally, because it's a grind. It's a long season, and everyone's a little bit different. But yeah, they were back. Head coach Corey Mace loved the energy he saw from them, and this is a team looking to improve to 5-0 this week.
Well, he wanted to play last game, but they said, no, you're not ready yet. But quarterback Trevor Harris, is he ready for Friday?
Yeah, he'll be ready to go. It sounds like he was extremely close to being able to play against the BC Lions, maybe just a step or two away from clearing concussion protocol. So another week, he's ready to go here, and they get him back. We know how important Trevor Harris is to this team, not just in terms of leadership, but his on-field play as well.
Did anyone join him that we haven't seen in a while as far as the injuries go, or was anyone missing? Let's get an update there.
Well, the good news, Sam Emelis was out there for a little bit, but he did do a lot of work on the sidelines, so we'll have to wait and see how he kind of progresses throughout the week. Sean Bain Jr., he's once again kind of like Sam Emelis, out there to begin, which is more than we've seen him doing before, but then he spent most of the time on the sidelines there. So they're still working on coming back. I know those are two weapons this offense would love to see. And then Devon Campbell didn't participate really in practice yesterday. So another thing to keep an eye on here as this team, like I said, looks to improve to 5-0 this week against the Calgary Stampeders team that just knocked off the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in a big way.
Yeah, that was a fun game to watch too. And of course, it's Friday Night Football on TSN. Luke Wilson, he has done a lot for getting people to be talking about the CFL. He's got a ton of followers on social media, and he was ranking as far as who has the best fans, and he gave it to the Bombers. CJME writer, reporter Britton Gray, is he right? Is he wrong? What do you think?
I disagree. I still think it's the Rider fans.
Why?
Because, well, when you're, as I think Jamie and I said it, when you're pulling, like, look at the different sizes of the cities, right? Winnipeg is, what, 800,000 people? Regina's 250,000 people. So many more fans travel to Saskatchewan games to make sure that they get to watch it. You see Rider fans everywhere, no matter what sport it is, baseball, basketball, there's usually a Rider jersey out there. I get when you just look at it right now in terms of what Winnipeg's been doing and their sellouts. Yes, they've been a great fan base, but I still slightly give the edge to Rider fans as number one.
Well, and you look at the merchandise sales. Saskatchewan would beat Winnipeg there, I'm pretty sure, too. Speaking of which, wasn't it the Obsidian Green that kind of rescued the Riders a little financially? And they're wearing them Friday, right?
Yeah, it was one of the big reasons they were able to post a profit last season was the success of the Obsidian Green jerseys, the best merchandise sales they've had since 2018. So that has kind of helped push the team forward in terms of finances. And yeah, they're wearing the Obsidian Green jerseys this weekend on Friday there. So excited to see them and see them in action once again. I know the players love it, and obviously the fans did as well. They kind of showed the team by buying so much of it.
Yeah, I think they're a sharp jersey too. Okay, Britton, nice to have you back on the show. We'll check in tomorrow morning, all right?
Looking forward to it.